For us as Christians is that we have him living on the inside of us. He's not just around us. He's not just with us, but he's right here, right now, living. If you are filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, he's living on the inside of us. I don't know about you, but that does something for me. that stirs me up in a way that I can't even explain. I feel so privileged and honored to know the Lord. 'Cause you are here, and you are holy, and we are standing in your glory. Uncomfortable to linger sometimes. Sometimes we get in a rush and we have the next thing that we want to have happen and we get in our patterns and our schedules. But God's presence is here. And I just want to just dwell here for a second. Let's just stay here for a moment and feel that wonderful presence of God wherever you're at. Maybe there's something that you need. Maybe there's a situation that you're facing personally in your family, in your life, and God is here. Maybe you're burdened for a family member or a friend. God is here. He's here to touch us. He's here to meet us. Thank you, God. And we wait on you, God. We wait on you right now, Lord Jesus. You are here. You are holy. We are standing in your glory. You are here. Presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand here in your presence, God. We are undone. We are undone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, your presence, everything bows before you.
Here in your presence,
all things are new.
Have I not said that I have brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this? Are you not sure that I have a plan, that I know the end from the beginning, that I have never left you nor forsaken you, that I have walked by your side, that each moment when you have reached out to me, that I have taken your hand, that I have covered you, that I will go before you, and I will come behind you and cover you on every side. For I am your Lord. I am your God. I am your heavenly Father. There is no greater love than that which I have for you. I came to this earth. I bore human flesh. I died on a cross so that I might be near you and you might be near me. Continue to walk in my light. Continue to walk by my side. Continue to walk with me, and you will see great things, greater things than those that I have done in the flesh. You will do, because you are my body, you are my people, you are my children, you bear my name, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again. Let's worship him just a little while longer. If you would just play for a moment. Let's worship the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here. I trust that you that are hearing this and seeing this on the internet, that you're feeling the presence of God. And if you're not in this moment, just reach out to him. Surrender your heart, surrender your mind, surrender your will to him, and you will feel his presence. He will speak to your heart. He will deal with your need. Because he loves you, he loves each of us with an everlasting love. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. We have some very serious and heavy needs. Pray for the Wagner family. I think most of us know that Brother John Wagner passed away this week, and Sister Lynn is dealing with that. Talked to her yesterday. She's contacting family members and trying to organize a memorial. So keep them in mind. Continue to pray for Brother Pat Huber for healing. Sister Brenda Rabine and her family, pray for them. Roger, Sister Brenda's brother, his wife passed away. Brenda's sister-in-law passed away unexpectedly this week. So pray for Sister Brenda, for the Puckett family. Pray for everyone that can hear this service this morning. I believe that we've turned the corner physically, socially, but I think spiritually too, something has happened here in the body of Christ. This is the church's greatest hour, and we are privileged to be a part of it. Praise God. Let's pray together right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you have done. We cannot understand everything that we have dealt with. We cannot understand every situation that has presented. But we know, O God, that you have a direction in our lives. We know, O God, that you have a will for us. Help us as the body of Christ, as the church, to fulfill your will, to hear your voice, to bear one another's burdens, to carry one another, and to reach to those who are hungry and lost. We pray, Lord, for the Wagner family, for Sister Lynn, and for all of John's children. We pray, God, for the extended family. This is such a hard time for everyone, but especially hard for someone who's suffering loss. Let your presence be more real than ever for this family, for this sister especially. Provide, Lord God, the comfort, but also the support and the help they need in this time of need. We pray, God, for Sister Brenda Rabine, for the Puckett family, for Roger, oh God, for all of these members and loved ones of the Puckett family, that the power and the presence of God would minister to them in a tangible way, that they would recognize that they could easily know that you are with them and that you are not far from them. I pray, oh God, for your blessing on this service this morning, upon Pastor Fabian Martinez, upon each of the men and women that are here, the children that are here in this service, but also for everyone who hears and sees this service, oh God. Let it be the oil of anointing for hungry hearts. Let it be the healing balm, oh God, that we need. Let the virtue of God flow through this service for your children's sake and for the sake of those who are seeking salvation. Let your blessing be upon all that we do today. For your name's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Such a beautiful presence of God here. I almost asked for the ushers to come, but we can't do that. So I guess we're getting back into the routines. Today is Mission Sunday. So don't forget to give to missions, cgcmadison.org. You can go there and click on the give link. You can mail your offering in to Commercial Avenue. Or you can text 5301 Commercial Avenue, just not just anywhere Commercial Avenue, but 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. Text to give, 608-719-3883. And then you need to designate tithes, offering, or missions. And if those that are here today, we have the plexiglass box out in the vestibule. You can place your offering in that saved, sanctified, and sanitized receptacle. So if you would do that, we appreciate it. If you aren't aware of it, we're back up to 150 in service. And we want to thank the Catholic Diocese of Madison and Dane County for taking a stand. I mean that with all my heart. They flexed their muscle and the county responded, and we're grateful for that. Thank you, Jesus. That allows us to have up to 25% of capacity in our meetings, and hopefully the next phase will kick in very quickly and we'll be able to have more in service. We're looking forward to that. We're doing everything we can to follow the guidelines. But I'm sorry, sometimes we'll have to overlook the fact that we're brothers and sisters and we can't help but hug each other once in a while. Amen. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it happens. And amen. So if you're not receiving emails or text messages from the church, you need to contact Pastor Phil Demas at pdemos@cgcmadison.org, and he will give you the updates to keep you posted as far as the services that we're having and what's allowed at those services. He's the information man, so please keep that in mind. Thursday, we'll have movie night here at 8 o'clock in the parking lot. How many of you are at the parking lot prayer meeting on Friday night? What a blessing that was. Praise God for that. We kind of shifted the schedule at the last minute, and I was a little worried. I don't know if anyone else was. I was a little concerned that we might not have a good turnout because of the lateness, but what an awesome turnout. What a great blessing that prayer meeting was. Next Sunday, we will have a virtual missionary presentation by Brother Jared Driggers, who is missionary to the country of Spain. He will be doing his missions presentation virtually, and then he'll also be preaching virtually to the congregation. So that's something to look forward to. Praise God. At this time, it's my great pleasure. Pastor Roy asked me to speak this morning, and I was planning on it. But when I met with Pastor Fabian Martinez of Voces Unidas on Friday, he spoke about his preparations for the prayer meeting, and I think he did an awesome job in leading that part of the prayer service. But he also talked about the church and about the need of the hour and about the world and the need of the world. And he spoke with such a great burden and anointing that it brought tears to my eyes while I was sitting there in his office. So I asked Pastor Roy if it would be all right to have Pastor Fabian speak this morning. And it's my pleasure to introduce Pastor Fabian Martinez of Voces Unidas en Jesucristo. Viene, por favor. Venga. Love you, brother.
Praise God. Give that hand unto the Lord. Not unto me, but unto the Lord. Give it to him. All to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so easy to preach to a crowd that loves God. And I feel weird because I always have to wait for the translator. It really does feel different. So if I pause a lot, that's why. But it's so good, and it makes it easier for a preacher to preach to a congregation that loves God. Amen. So I would like to first of all thank Pastor Roy. Thank you for the opportunity. He's a man that loves people. He's a man that believes in people. He's a man that believes God can use people. He's not afraid of, most of you know how he works. Thank you, Pastor, for giving the opportunity, and trust me. I hope I don't mess up. Thank you, Pastor Seidel, for giving me the trust as well. And thank you for being so kind to me. But I'd like to start in the book of Acts. I'm sorry to the overhead, I didn't give you this. Chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, they all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. I want you to think about this. We all know this. They all, every single one of them, with one accord, every single one of them, prayer and supplication with the brethren. I'd like to go to Acts 2. Verse 1, please. And he says this once again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord again. In one place. That spoke volumes to me. I start saying those things because I believe when God's people, all, that includes every single one of God's people, when they're all in one accord, God is really ready to do something great. The Lord said, wait here until you receive the promise. I wonder if God was waiting for them to be all in one accord. It might take longer, I don't know. But the Bible says that we're all together in one accord. Praise God. The title to this message that I bring to you, it is a good thing to feel pain. You may say, what? Yes. I believe it is a good thing to feel pain. What would Jesus do You know, this phrase has always helped me. What would Jesus do? It really has helped me. It really has. When I'm in a situation, I ask myself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want me to do? All in one accord. I would like to go to 1 Corinthians 12. I want to read verse 12 to 14. We just heard from the Lord, and the Lord said, for a time such like this. God knew what was going to happen this day, this time. And we are here for a reason. Every single one of us that God has called and saved us. The Lord also spoke and said, as one body. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are a body. I know you've heard this many times. I know you have, and you probably preach better than I will today on this topic. Every single one of us is a member of this one body. Say, I'm a member. You are. Verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Have you received the Holy Ghost? If you have, you can say amen. And if you haven't, God wants to fill you with it. And he will. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. That means that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the exact same Spirit that is in me. Therefore, that makes us one. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. I'd like to jump to verse 25, please. What is the reason, 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another? This is Bible. This is the word of God. This is not even my word yet. So there should not be schism, division, or any kind, any type. But we should have the same care for one another. 26. And if one member suffers, have you ever heard of one of your brothers suffer? We've heard that a lot lately. I heard that a lot lately. We're suffering. We're suffering. And if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I haven't seen that to fulfill 100%. I've seen members suffer. But I don't know if I've seen the entire body suffer with that member that suffers. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I wonder if the Apostle Paul had to deal with an issue similar to what we're going through in this world, especially in the church, that he had to write this. Obviously, the Lord did it because he inspired him. They need to say Greek and Jew. They need to say free or slave. Why is there such a need for him to write that? I'm wondering if there was such division among the brethren. I was wondering, maybe the free were not feeling the pain of the slave. I don't know. But I have my assumptions. But if you have the Holy Ghost in you, God will tell you exactly. Why did he have to address this? And it's still Bible today. One body. Why one body? Why did he have to say that? He was very basic. He was very clear comparing the church with the body. I said, it is a good thing to feel pain. I have many reasons why I believe that. And I'll share some of them with you. Has anybody ever hurt themselves physically? I believe so. When you are hurt, your entire body jerks, reacts. Not just one part of the body, but the entire body. Have you ever burned yourself in the stove? One little part of your body gets burned, but the entire body reacts. Your whole body. Little burn. Your foot twitches. Your everything. What would happen if we didn't have pain? What would happen if there was no pain? What would happen if my finger is getting burned, but then my hand and up did not feel the pain? My one finger will be suffering so hard. But if the rest of me would not feel the pain, what would happen? There is serious issues, I believe, if the body does not feel pain. There's urgency if the body does not feel pain. There's some reasons why the body would not feel pain. If I am a member of the body, and we all are members of the body, and if I hurt, and you don't feel my pain, there's two things that could be happening there. Either I am not part of the body, or you are not part of the body. Because if we were part of the body, we would feel the pain. Either I'm not part of the body, that's why you're not feeling my pain, or you're not part of the body, that's why you're not feeling my pain, and vice versa. Another reason. If the body doesn't feel pain, it may be that that part of the body is dead. Have you ever seen when they try to get people to feel those are paralyzed, they poke them? Or when someone has in a very bad accident and they want to know if they can save their extremities, they poke them. Do you feel pain? No. Do you feel pain? No. Do you feel pain? No. The part is dead. Do you feel pain? Oh, yes. He's still part of the body. He feels pain. It is good to feel pain. It can be good. It's a good time to feel pain. It is a bad sign if we don't feel pain for other members. Another reason that the body will not feel pain is if the body entirely is dead. Not only one part, but the entire body. It is a good thing to feel pain, brothers and sisters. There's many brothers and sisters throughout the years and situations go through pain. And if we're not feeling each other's pain, it may be that we're not entirely a body. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to feel pain when you hurt. I want to be sensitive to your pain. I want to hurt as much as you hurt. Because I want to be part of that body. Pain will cause to react, to do something, to do something. If your finger is getting burnt in the stove, your hand will take it away. Your eyes will keep an eye on it, so you're going to get close. We can't say, I feel you praying, brother and sister, and do nothing. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. If I really feel the pain, I will do something. I will do something to cause my member to be more comfort, to have more comfort, to save them from that pain, because I feel it. They were all together in one accord. In the day of Pentecost. And what happened that day? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spoke in tongues. Say amen if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a lot of voices. Praise God. I'm not trying to belittle those who have not. God will fill you up. It's God's will. It's God's will that you will. I'd like to read in John 14:26. The Bible says like this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is the one that comforts us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. I am very careful not to be fleshly and carnal here. But if the Holy Spirit is in us, and if the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, that's what we ought to be doing to each other. Comfort each other. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comforts. He comforts. For such a time like this, he comforts. That's what he does. If we're not comforting our brothers or sisters, it may be that we really don't have the Holy Spirit. Or we are battling against the Holy Spirit. John 15:26, same thing. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, which is the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. When you comfort your brother, when I comfort my brother, that testify about Jesus. He has filled us with his Holy Spirit so we can feel our brother's pain. He has filled us with his Holy Spirit so that we can comfort them. Brothers and sisters, I respect every one of you, but the church has a power for a better use, a greater use. If that comforting Holy Spirit is in you or is in me, then I will be comforting my brother. We have a higher power, church. God will hold us accountable for this wonderful power that we have. It's biblical. There ain't such a power like His Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and my brother is in pain, and I'm not comforting my brother, I better be careful lest I blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The church cannot afford to miss the great opportunity for a time like this. I really believe God wants to do something great. And I think He's waiting. Like in the day upon Pentecost, He's waiting. When we all come together in one accord. We must live what we preach. I believe He was anointed. He started the year with saying, live what you read. Live the world, the word. It is good to know the word. But it only, the greatness happens when we live it. I believe God has been trying to talk to us. Read the word, live the word. We have a great opportunity, church. We have a great opportunity. There's so many people that need comforting. There's so many people that are in pain. A wise man said one time, said this to me, and you may know this wise person. I can win any argument. I have won many. I have rarely lost any argument. I can win every argument. But for every argument that I have won, I've lost an opportunity to win a soul. I remember those words. And God cleaned my heart with those words. Because it's really easy to try to make your point across and forget about what the church is being called to do. I can win every argument. But for every argument that I won, I lost the opportunity to win a soul. I'd rather win a soul than an argument. I'd rather lose an argument and win a soul. This wise person said that. And you probably know this person. We must preach what we teach. Have you heard it said once, love thy neighbor as yourself? I found out that's the hardest thing to do. I found out it's very difficult to do. My flesh gets in the way all the time. Whatever you don't want for yourself, whatever you would not accept for yourself, you shouldn't want it for your neighbor, or accept it for your neighbor. After all, Jesus said, this is what we must do if we want eternal life. That's what He said. I want eternal life. God knows my faults. He knows. Do you know the story of the Good Samaritan? And I need your help here. I'm going to try to finish soon. I think I'm going to finish short. I'd like you to repeat amen. Not amen, that amen, but amen, like a guy or someone. Luke 10:30 says, Jesus replied, Jesus said, everyone, I need your help. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him, who? Of his clothes. Beat who? and went away, leaving who? The man half dead. Praise God. Not for what that happened, but because he's speaking to us. Verse 33 to 37. I need your help again. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, who? He had pity on who? He went to who? And bandaged whose wounds? Pouring oil and wine. Then he put who? On his own donkey. And brought who? To an inn. And took care of who? That's right. The next day he took out two denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after who? He said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him who? Jesus told him, go and do likewise if you want eternal life. Because that was the question. How do I get eternal life? The Bible says, amen. I'm not a great theologian, but if you tell me who that man was, where he came from, I would like to know. For as far as my knowledge goes, the Bible says, amen. The Bible says that a priest and a Levite walk by, people that are supposed to know God. And they just pass by. Do you know how these men look like? Do you know how these men dressed like? Does anybody know? Do you know what these men, what language did he speak? Does anybody know his ethnicity? Do you know if he was rich or poor? Do you know if he was a real old man or a young man? Do you know if he was a good man or an evil man? Does anybody know this? If you do, please let me know. I'd like to know about this man. Do you know if that man was an abuser? Was he a criminal? Whatever it may be, it seems a good Samaritan didn't care for that. He walked by and he saw him and he was stirred to mercy. And he went and helped him. Help who? I don't see in the scriptures. And if you do, please let me know because I want to know the scriptures. I don't know if it did or not, but the scriptures doesn't say that. I think it for a reason doesn't say that. Because none of those things matter and none of those things should never matter. Not even one little bit. I don't know if the Good Samaritan asked him when he was helping him, are you a UPCI brother? Or are you a POW brother? I don't know if he asked him that. The Bible doesn't say it. But I don't think he did because the Bible doesn't say it. I don't know if he asked him, hey, what are you doing here? Are you legal or illegal here? I didn't think he cared. He cared to help him. God will take care of him, of his expenses. Whatever he spent on him, God will take care of him. I don't think that the Good Samaritan said, are you an atheist? Are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Are you pro-gun? Are you against guns? Are you pro-life? Are you pro-choice? Are you an LGBT guy? Are you one of those protesters that were breaking stuff? Are you a racist? Are you a Black Lives Matter movement guy? Are you Muslim? Are you a terrorist? See, church, the Lord spoke to us. And he said, for a time like this, such a time like this, there's something going on in this world. It seems us humans only willing to love our neighbor when we feel that they are like us. They think like us. They dress like us. They believe like us. When we associate them with us, we seem we're more open to help them then. It's biblical. None of those things should matter for a Christian. For a Christian. I'm sorry if I've been a little Debbie Downer here, but I mean, there's a point to it, brothers and sisters. I'd rather lose an argument than lose a soul. I am willing to lose an argument with any one of you in order to win a soul. I respect your opinion. I think they're worthy of respect. And I believe they're very intelligent opinions. But if it doesn't win a soul, it's not priority. I'd rather lose an argument than create walls between a lost soul and me. I'd rather lose an argument. Pain is a very nasty thing, but it's a good thing. Because when we feel the pain, it shows that we are one body. When we don't feel pain, it shows that something has happened within the body. Pain is good and nasty at the same time. Everyone has the right to be, and everybody is entitled to feel pain. Don't feel bad for feeling pain. Don't feel guilty for feeling pain. But if you are in pain, I must say this to you. Be very careful with that pain. It could turn into grudge. It can turn into bitterness. Or even worse, it can turn into hate. The sooner you forgive, the better it will be for you. We have seen when people are hurt and they don't have God in their lives. We've seen it everywhere. When people are hurt and they don't have Jesus in their life, they show their pain the only way they know how, without Jesus. If you're in pain, please turn it unto the Lord. You are entitled to your pain. You have the right to have pain, but don't let it become bitterness to you. God wants to do great things, brothers and sisters. God wants to do great things. The Lord said, wait here until the promise come unto you. He was waiting for them to be together with one accord. When they were together with one accord, something wonderful and powerful and wonders and miracles happened. I wonder if God is waiting for the entire universe, church, or the world, for us to come together. He wants to do something great. He wants to do something wonderful. But we must be in one mind and one accord. We all must be in one mind and one accord. We all must be one body. We have His Holy Spirit. He guides us to it. He teaches us. We're not alone. We are not alone. Praise God. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I would like you to stand up. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask you to stand up. There's people that want to pray for you so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be part of this wonderful body. If you're filled with God's Spirit, it is time to come together. Go higher and show the world what the body is all about. God wants to do wonderful things. Things we don't even imagine. But I believe He's waiting for us to really be one. Truly be one. Your opinions are intelligent opinions and then extremely respectful. But we must pass, go beyond that. Beyond that. Praise God. I believe God is healing His body. I believe we're growing together. I believe none of us have ever, I've never gone through anything like this. I don't know if you have, and if you have, please tell us on your experience so we can do better. We are growing. Children make mistakes when they grow, but we also correct them. Praise God. I will turn this to Pastor Seidel if you can lead us in prayer.
Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe we've heard from the Lord this morning. Sympathy is when you feel sorry for someone. You have feelings for them. But empathy is when you share their feelings. When you're feeling what they feel. Praise God. I'm glad that Jesus Christ had empathy for me. That He came in the flesh and felt what I feel and struggled with the things I struggle with and overcame them. Now the Bible says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That same empathy should flow through us. I agree with Pastor Fabian. God's going to do a great thing as not if, but as we come together and feel and carry each other's burdens. Let's worship. Let's pray. If you want to come and make a commitment to the Lord, if you want to repent, if you want to surrender, if you want to hear something, a word from the Lord, come and pray. Keep your distance from each other. But we're going to allow you to come and pray here and let the Holy Ghost move. We're feeling a great move of God. God's given us a fresh call, a fresh direction. Let's submit to it and submit to one another so God can do the things that He wants to do. In Jesus' name.